So a couple years ago, I was driving home from work, and I was working very late. So it was anywhere from 12 o'clock to 1:30 or something. And I lived very far away back then. It was about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. And so I'm taking this road from Orlando to Titusville, Florida. And it's this huge, long straightaway. It's 528, also called the B line. And it goes through just this very long stretch of absolutely nothing. And I guess with it being so late, there were no other cars on the entire road. I'm just out there with no street lights. It's just completely dark. Just me in the middle of nowhere. And I'm driving along like I've done many times before. And I see this weird thing fly over my car. And it looked like this vertically spinning set of lights, right? There's these green lights. They're sort of in this, I don't know, triangular shape or something. They were spinning vertically. You know, a helicopter would spin horizontally. But they were vertically, and they just flew right over my car and then off into the nothingness of 528. And it was really weird. And I had no idea. I still, to this day, have no idea what it was, because I did not recognize it. It just seemed really strange, and it was going very fast, you know? And I don't have much else to say about it other than it was weird. I could not explain it. I have no one else to back me up on it. It was just this really weird experience, and I have no idea still what it was. So that's my UFO experience.
Okay, here's mine. So I was driving. This would happen occasionally. Similar thing. I'd be commuting to and from, in my case, school out to Orlando. So this was out on 46, which is also a middle of nowhere, pitch black kind of road, right? So I'd be driving. And at first, it I didn't care at all. I didn't seem like a big deal, but it looked like in front of the car, by maybe, you know, 6 feet, 8 feet in front of the car, a little frog would like jump out of the way. Just, you'd see what I assumed was some little frog just crossing the headlight beam, and you'd see it jump. And I'm like, okay, frog, cool. Glad I got out of the way. And then a few minutes later, it would happen again. I'm like, oh, another frog. But it just would keep happening, where periodically, usually right as soon as I quit intensely looking for it, I would see this thing. And eventually I'm like, this isn't a frog, because it's exactly the same motion every time. And it was such a tiny thing that you're like, it's just this tiny little thing. It's probably nothing. It's probably, I don't know, a reflection of something in the windshield. But I could not figure it out, and it would just keep happening. It wouldn't happen every time, but it would happen sometimes and keep happening during those times. And it kind of made me a little bit crazy, because I'm thinking, I'm a rational person. I can figure out what is causing this little thing. It must be the reflection of streetlights. But no, it doesn't follow the rhythm of streetlights. It must be the windshield wipers, but no, they're off. There must be something. Like, never figured it out, and it actually made me feel a little bit nuts. And so to this day, I don't know what this little frog looking thing was that I kept seeing in the car on 46.
And I guess the additional weird thing about, you know, these experiences is that there's insufficient data for us to go back and figure out exactly what they were. I can't, like, I have no recorded evidence of my thing, and you have no recorded evidence of your thing. All we have is our own experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that's kind of interesting.
All right, well, let's leave that out there for now. And clearly we want to talk about aliens today. We said that season 5 was going to be a little bit more exploratory, where we kind of pause on the introspective, self-helpy type of stuff and just talk about some things that seem interesting. We figured let's kick it off with aliens. So I can't talk about it or even really think about this fantastical thing of a, like, it's just, it's so ingrained in culture and consciousness and science fiction and everything, and it's so wild and open-ended that I can't even talk about it without some kind of framework for just being able to reason. So I figured what we could do is play a game that a friend of mine and I play sometimes. It's sort of a conversation starter, intellectual exercise kind of thing. It's real simple. So I give you three things, and you have to order them in order of how likely you think they are to be real. So this would work for something like conspiracy theories. I could say 9/11 was an inside job. We faked the moon landing, and COVID vaccines are liquid microchips, something, something, cell towers. I never really got that one. But I would give those three to you. And it doesn't matter if you're the type who's like, no, they're all true 100%. Or you think it's absurd and there's no chance. You have to think about them and you have to compare them and try and reason about, well, maybe they're all very unlikely, but which one is the most likely out of them? And it forces you to unwrap them a little bit rather than just being dismissive. So, okay, that's the game. For you, you have three things. Zombies, aliens, and vampires. Rank them in order of how likely they are to exist.
Okay, can I talk about them first before
them? It's supposed to be a conversational thing.
Okay, let's start with vampires. Okay, so I am not an expert on vampire lore, so, you know, I don't know, but I do know that vampires were very widely believed all the way from the Middle Ages up until the 1800s. I mean, people were murdered because they were thought to be vampires. Corpses were dug up and stabbed through the heart with a, you know, wooden stake. I mean, people took that very seriously and were completely sure that vampires were real. Now, modern days, we do have, you know, groups of people who call themselves vampires and drink blood, you know, occasionally or whatever, and they do their thing, but, you know, they die like everybody else. And so vampires are widely regarded as not real, you know. Mm-hmm. They are mythical creatures. We actually read Dracula in our book club. So, you know, the lore is still quite alive today, but vampires are pretty much accepted as not real. Zombies. Okay, now zombies are interesting because now if you look at, you know, the modern view on zombies or the general idea, and they differ from show to show and book or movie or whatever, but this idea of a human sort of being overtaken by a virus and then being controlled by that and then sort of attacking other humans, that in itself is not actually that far-fetched. Now, the degree in which it happens hasn't happened, and we would know about it, you know, if people were being
Was, I can't help but think of the guy from Florida, because of course, I think it was Miami, who ate somebody's face. Like, he killed someone and then ate their face because he, I don't know, was, I don't know what kind of drug makes you do that, but he...
I think he was on bath salts or something, but yeah.
Was it? I don't know. That seemed pretty zombie-esque.
Yes, but he was not dead. He was alive. But yeah, and there are... I don't know. I remember reading something about, you know, tales of this... Or of people behaving in zombie-like behavior or whatever. Like, there are viruses and, you know, if you get rabies or whatever. I mean, there are different things you can get that make you act similar to a zombie. However, the zombie outbreaks that we see in TV shows and movies have not happened, you know, in any capacity like that. Right. So that's zombies. What are we talking about? Aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens are quite a bit different than the other two. Because unlike the other two, the more you put science, or the more you put science to vampires and zombies, you're like, okay, this, you know, that's not happening. But the more you put science to aliens, the more likely they are to exist. If you look at reality, we're actually not living up to the scientific theories about how much life mm-hmm. there should be in the universe. We look out and we don't see any of it, which doesn't compute according to science. So aliens are actually way more likely to be real than zombies or vampires. So I would, okay, my ranking is number one, most likely to exist is aliens. Number two, zombies, and number three, vampires.
Thank you. I like your reasoning there. So my take is kind of similar. To me, there is this big, bright line that separates out things that are that we don't know if they're real, right? When you're kind of speculating. So vampires, for example. Of course, it depends on how you define vampire exactly, but if you take some of the stuff out of the lore, you know, it can't be killed unless you ram a wooden stake through its heart. It has to be a wooden stake. You can't see its reflection in a mirror. Can turn into a bat at night and turn back into a human. Right. So those things are magic. Like being able to turn from a human into a bat and back, like that's magic. Or maybe a different way of stating it is that is something that defies every currently understood law of physics. You know, it is something that we do not observe and is impossible by our current model for the world. So zombies, again, it comes down to how you define it and what would qualify or not. But, you know, mostly it seems like it's not violating laws of physics. You know, a virus takes over a person, makes them aggressive, and that kind of thing. Now, there seems like some aspects might be magic. Like these human creatures don't only eat human brains, but they can hardly ever find it. But somehow they have the energy to live on for a long time. Like, that doesn't make sense. You need energy to move, right? So where does that come from? That kind of thing, right? Or they burn up in the sun or stuff like that. So depends. But you can definitely fit zombie north of that line where it becomes a possible thing by physics. Aliens, as you said, fit very, very comfortably there. In fact, it is strange that we don't see them. Now, it gets hard to... You can't really put a probability to this because we don't know how likely it is that life exists or that life will form on a planet. We know that it's not impossible because we are alive, unless we're living in a simulation. But even then, something's alive, right? We know that the odds of life happening is not zero, but we don't know anything beyond that. It could still be very, very unlikely. It could be that once in every 10 trillion universes, life appears. Or it could be every 10th planet, right? Or 10th planet in the green zone. We know that there's 400 million planets in the green zone. That's a lot, or, you know, roughly, right? So it seems very probable that there's life somewhere. So anyway, as a basic way of reasoning about it, at the simplest level, to me, it helps to separate things out from obeys current laws of physics and does not obey current laws of physics. And that sounds like a pretty trivial thing, like, okay, cool, either magic or not. But if you kind of keep that in mind as you start to listen to a lot of the encounters talk and what people have seen or claim to have seen, it's surprising how often that threshold gets crossed where someone will be explaining this thing that they saw and it, I mean, there may not be any evidence for it, but you're following along going, okay, if aliens are real, then, you know, all right. And then very quickly it becomes magic, where I think they're actually spirit beings from another plane that are coming to communicate with us and warn us about, and like, well, now we're in magic, so now it's a whole different thing. So just as personally for me, things that are magic are not likely in my mind, and I don't even really care to talk about them all that much because it's just very fantastical. But other stuff that's not magic, even if it's very unlikely, I'm pretty happy to entertain some thoughts about it.
Well, the argument I see from, you know, some people is that they're aliens, so you have no idea what they can do. They could be, you know, they could speak telepathically. They could enter into your dreams. They could control your mind. They can do anything because they're aliens and we just don't know. So why would they abide by the laws of the physics that we have? They might be, you know.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
And I think there's a bit of an argument there that if science and technology advanced so far, maybe it's unrecognizable. Maybe we can't even fathom it. But in my view, I think mostly we can. It's possible that we're missing some very fundamental aspect of physics. Like maybe faster than light travel is possible. But currently, we really don't think it is. And if it were, it would cause some very fundamental paradoxes with our understanding of reality. I mean, if you can travel faster than light, then you're breaking causality and it gets really strange. So even just that constrains it a lot. And even with very advanced technology, going faster than light is that's not really on our radar of a thing that you could do even with very advanced tech. So I understand the argument, and part of me is kind of like, I can see it, but I'm still in the camp of, if it's violating fundamental physics, I'm not really into it.
Okay, can we get to some, or discussing some of the big questions. Do you believe that planet Earth has been visited by extraterrestrial beings at any point in its past?
Do I personally think so?
Yeah.
I no is the short answer. I think the odds are very, very low.
But what about all the people who say they have seen aliens or experienced aliens, or, you know, all these different sightings and everything? I mean,
right.
What do you think of that?
So if you had asked me in, let's say, early 2000s, I would have said, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of people saying this stuff. It's hard to dismiss it when so many people have these claims. And I will talk about this, but just recently, like months ago, in U.S. Congress, which sounds like a big official place, it's actually a total shit show, so I don't know if this makes it better or worse, but in the U.S. Congress, they interviewed, I think, three main witnesses from the Navy and somewhere else that were professing their belief of this secret government program of, you know, they call them UAPs, unidentified aerial projectiles. Is that it? Yeah.
I think it's aerial phenomena. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe so. Right. And so there's video footage that's become public, and they're claiming that there's these big government programs of captured alien craft and actual alien body that they've been learning from and that kind of thing. Right. There's a lot of people, some very high up or well-credentialed people, making these claims. So if you had asked me in the early 2000s, I would have said, I don't know, but there is a lot. Like, it's hard for me to just dismiss it outright. Ask me now, my answer is no, definitely not. Because, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but we both watched I almost finished, which I'm proud of, the new, very new Netflix show called Encounters, where they're talking, or they're looking at people or even groups of people that have had these incredible encounters, or say they have, with aliens and whatnot. So what I find a little bit amusing and telling is that this show was released literally a couple weeks ago. So 2013, late 2013. And the first story they're telling is from 2008. And do you know when the iPhone came out? 2009.
Okay.
Right. So personal cameras or phone cameras became common, or started to become common, the very next year. And I didn't make it as far as the fourth episode, but for the first three episodes, everything is pre-smartphone, even also, now with all of this time passing.
I also didn't watch the fourth episode, but...
Okay, I did. You told me to watch it. I got through three. I'm pretty proud of that. And it was an interesting show. I want to talk about that too. But with as much claim as there has been since the early 2000s, you know, one of the people in this show says that a big alien craft just flew over his head. And he looks up and like the sky is blotted out and he can see this thing sort of hovering over him. And through a window, there's this sort of insectoid human-esque figure that's piloting it. He's looking at it through the scope and his rifle. And he's like, I was going to shoot it, but then I was like, maybe I shouldn't because I would start an intergalactic war. Right? This person is claiming that. If that had happened a couple years later, he would have had a camera in his pocket and would have filmed the whole thing or taken photos. So to me, it's like watching a horror movie. If you watch a horror movie that's been made in any recent decades, there is always one problem that they have to get around, which is the phones. So someone has to cut the phone line, or there's a storm and it gets taken down. Or if it's in the smartphone era, it's, oh, I get a cell service doesn't work out here. Something has to happen to break the phones, because otherwise just the plot doesn't work. You can't make a horror film without with functioning phones. And in this case, none of these things work if you have functioning cameras, because then you just take a picture and it would be there and we would all see it, but that doesn't happen. So my skepticism for this has just increased by a vast amount, because virtually every person on Earth, with the exception of you, has a camera on their phone in their pocket. And so you would just take a photo, but that doesn't happen. And of the three episodes that I did watch of this, the photo evidence was absolutely nothing. And they had to do what horror movies do, which is to somehow kind of hand wavy explain why the camera didn't work, or they just somehow couldn't get a picture.
Right. I used to believe in ghosts when I was probably all the way through high school, really. You just kind of believe it in the back of your mind that in scary places there the ghosts might exist.
Sure.
And then they started coming out with all of those ghost hunting shows. And at first I was like, oh my God, you're finally going to see a ghost. And then you watch the shows and you're like, that's all you got? You went to the most haunted places on planet Earth and you have some radio cackle, and then you translate it into saying something, you know, eloquent or whatever. It's like, God, you have nothing. You have people going out with all kinds of equipment to all creepy corners of, you know, murder scenes in the world, and there's just nothing. And I'm like, okay, forget it. There's nothing out there. Because the harder you look at the things that seem so big and mystical, and the more they disappear. To take one of the experiences on that show, Encounters, you have an older guy who is a pilot, and he's flown a bunch of planes, and he seems like a, you know, an intelligent, nice guy. Like, sure. He seems like a cool guy. And he claims to see this, you know, big aircraft that was sort of triangular shaped or whatever, and it flew over his farm or something, and then it just disappeared. And then immediately after, he sees these two F-15s or something following it, and or going off in the direction he thinks it went off. And the way he talks about it, you think, oh my God, like he must have seen something. But if you think about the craft that he saw, triangular shaped, you think, oh man, I don't know anything like that. But there's definitely, there's absolutely planes like that. There's the B-2 bomber, which is like literally just a giant black triangle, and it's super scary looking. And if it was dark outside, and actually I saw we saw a B-2 bomber fly over our house, our parents' house when we were kids. I remember seeing it. And it's just like, man, what is that thing? It's so different than normal planes, and it's quieter, and it's just, it's creepy. It's weird. It's weird to see this giant black bat looking thing fly over, you know, just a normal house. And if it was darker and it had bright lights shining and it flew behind a cloud that you couldn't see, I don't know what I'd think, you know, I mean, and if I believed in that stuff, I mean, there are so many visual illusions and trickery and phenomenons that happen that could explain many of these things, like a plane or an aircraft disappearing. There are tons of invisible clouds where the cloud has no form on it because it's being lit, you know, from soft lighting, and it blends in perfectly with the background. So you may not be able to see that cloud at all. And if a plane flies into it, it just disappears. But if you see a normal plane do that, you don't think anything of it. But if you see something you think is an alien spacecraft just suddenly disappear, then it's in your brain that it disappeared. And if you see something with really bright lights, I mean, we have the technology for bright lights. We have aircraft that are shaped like big triangles. And then to be followed by two F-15s, it's like, okay, that's typical military stuff, you know?
Right.
It's escorting some kind of military plane or whatever. At least that would be one way you could explain that, I guess.
And this is where I have the hard time, which is in this show, in Encounters, in, I forget where, I think it's in Texas, there's this guy who sees, this is how Netflix is telling the story. The show is it's very Netflixy, good cameras and, you know,
yeah, cinematic pacing. And
it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. But so the way the story is being told is this guy, he sees these lights, you know, big bright lights in the sky, and it sort of whooshes over him, and he sees the fighters following it and everything. And he's like, oh, what was, had to have been an alien craft and something. And then, you know, the next day he's talking to people, and other people are saying, I saw lights too. And you know, they have this town hall meeting kind of thing. And there's a bunch of people, they're all going, I did too. And the expectation to the viewer is like, holy crap, they all saw something. They must have. Why else would so many people be claiming the same thing on the same night? So it almost feels like the did they see something or did they not? It almost feels like that's an important question, but it isn't, because who cares? They saw lights in the sky. If this was pre-industrial, where we hadn't invented lights yet, that would be a big deal, but we have, and there's a lot of them, and we make them all the time and attach them to everything, so lights are not exciting. And flying overhead, like, things fly, we know that, and you don't find this out until a little bit later, but they live right next to an Air Force base where a whole bunch of stuff flies in and out, so it's just not that exciting. So it's what it comes down to for so many, arguably all of these things, is the interpretation of it, where you get something that's odd. You shared your story of the green lights that seem sort of like a helicopter, but the wrong orientation, flying across, moving quick, right? I shared my story of the mysterious repeating
alien
frogs.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to interpret that. You don't know how to interpret that. But in the realm of possibilities, aliens is not the simplest and most straightforward explanation. Again, if we hadn't invented lights yet, that would be really nuts, but we have. So probably something with lights on it flew past your car. Maybe it was a drone that was banking, so you saw lights this way, or a tail rotor, or who, I don't know, right? And for me, I don't know what happened, but I expect it was some sort of optical illusion type of thing, something in the windshield, something it drove me nuts that I didn't figure it out. But I think that's because I just didn't figure it out. Like, I don't think there's any reason to interpret that as some kind of mysterious alien force. So that's where I'm at with all of this stuff, is that it usually the question is, how do you interpret this thing? And to me, the alien explanation is just the least likely of all of them.
Okay, let's talk about the government. The government's role in all of alien theories and experiences. So this guy sees this thing in the sky and then calls the Air Force or whatever, and you know, they refuse to comment on it. So you think, oh, the government's covering something up. And in everything, you know, Roswell, whatever, at all of the stories, it's always the government is covering it up, which, not saying the government is, you know.
Yeah, they probably would. I mean,
yeah, they definitely would. But, yes, they've been known to keep many, many things secret and do horrible things. The government is not probably even a good entity. But I think it's interesting that the secrecy of the government is sort of this it's like an immunity cloak to the alien theories or the alien conspiracies and everything. It's like, well, we don't know, therefore it's, you know, it can be true. But my problem with the whole government thing is that, you know, we on planet Earth look up to the government, or, you know, depending on where you live, but you look up to the government and think, you know, these elite people that are in charge of everything in the world, and, you know, they control secrets or truth or whatever. But okay, look at the universe. You're talking about beings that came from way out there, billions of light years away, and are visiting this planet, which means our government is just this puny little insignificant nothingness. They would stand no chance against anything that could make it to this planet. They would be nothing. So the idea that the government can be in any way control of these guys, if they were to exist, is just ludicrous. Like, the idea that they could even keep it a secret or do anything about it is just very improbable to me. If aliens wanted to make themselves known, they would be known. If they wanted to blow up our planet, if they have the ability to come all the way over here, our planet would be blown up. So the idea that the government would be able to successfully conceal their existence is just completely unbelievable to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. If they have faster than light travel, then we don't matter for sure.
Yeah.
What I find very interesting. So I had such a hard time with this show at first. You had told me that I needed to watch it because we were going to talk about aliens. So I sat down and 10 minutes in, I'm just like squirming and I just can't. It was so hard for me.
That's how I felt when we tried to do the meditation episode. I started reading this that stupid meditation book, and I'm like, I hate this. Like, there's some sort of thing deep in your brain that just...
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And I ended up enjoying it a lot because it became interesting. Not because I became more convinced of aliens. If anything, it was like your experience with ghosts, where I'm watching that going, oh my gosh, they really have nothing. Like, there's just nothing here. The most interesting footage they showed was the gimbal footage that was a Pentagon video, which had nothing at all to do with what was being talked about. It was just other footage, and they picked the most interesting, although I would argue still not very interesting, footage of everything that we have. And they just showed that several times. That was literally it. It was an unrelated piece of blurry video layered on top of this other story. Nothing. Anyway, that was my experience there. But it did become very interesting because you see a lot of patterns and very similar things in all these different stories, even though they're from completely different places and different situations and different things being claimed. There is clearly a very, there's a human psychology aspect to it where these things take a very similar form. And part of that could just be I don't know how to say it, like the narrative that we already know, you know, we see things in sci-fi, we've seen Close Encounters, we've seen these movies or imagined stuff. And so the way of interpreting what you're seeing, it's not making sense, winds up kind of fitting that narrative. So maybe if people didn't have that preconceived idea, it would be more diverse. But whatever the case, they're all very, very similar. One of the threads that was always present was this sort of conspiracy thing. The government is keeping this quiet. There's something going on, and there's some powerful entity that's not letting it out. Or even there's a conspiracy with the whole population. Like, people don't want to know, so they're refusing to believe. I was trying to think about what the threads are there, or what the elements are. And out of everything we saw, one is this sort of interpretive part of it, where it's very rare that anyone had a story that was very concrete. Now, there was the guy who said the ship hovered over his head and he looked in the window and saw the alien guy. That I would consider very concrete. That was the only one. Virtually everything else is very much I saw lights, I saw a figure, I saw something, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of interpretation that goes on there. So that's one main theme. The other theme was the conspiracy, where there's somebody suppressing information, working against them, hiding it, that kind of thing. Another major theme was appeal to authority. And this is extremely present. All of these things are present in the congressional hearings that we just saw. It's always this, well, this guy is the constable of the town. He's not going to ruin his reputation when he says this. This guy was in the Navy for 15 years. This guy has a PhD. It's always that. There's this appeal to their credentials as, oh, they're a respected person, so you must listen to what they say. Did you kind of pick up on those same things, or?
Yes. Especially the interpretive aspect of it. Because I watched this documentary right after watching this true crime documentary on this woman. I can't remember the name of the documentary, but basically it's this woman who at the age of, I don't know, late 20s, 30s or something, she is, you know, she's playing with her daughter or something. And then all of a sudden, all of these memories of her childhood start flooding back. And she realizes her best friend was murdered when she was a kid. That actually happened. But all of these memories start coming back to her. And she remembers that her father was the one that killed her best friend. So her husband calls the police and tells them, hey, my wife's remembering all this stuff. So they come and interview her, and they find her to be credible. The police find her to be credible because she's giving all these details, and she's very, you know, emotional about it. She's very, you know, seems to be very, very truthful about this, very, very firm in what she's saying. And they actually take him to trial. They start investigating him, her father. Turns out he's a horrible human being, like the worst of the worst. He's a pedophile. He's violent, abusive. Like, he's just a horrible human being. It seems very likely that this guy, as evil as he is, must have killed this girl because he was in close proximity or whatever. So they take him to trial, and she gives her account. And, you know, the defense and the prosecution, whatever, they argue about it, her legitimacy or whatever. And she gives all of these details about the event. And they all match up with what actually happened. You know, my father held the rock over his head like this with the two hands. And that's actually like the thumbnail of the show. And she was wearing this ring on her left hand or something, and that was smashed. And like, she gives all of these details, but then, the defense comes back with, okay, every single detail that she has in her story appeared in public. Every single one of them. There wasn't a single detail that she gave that wasn't in the public, in, published in some newspaper, article, whatever. Every single one of them was published. And so then it becomes, and she is so believable. And it, you can tell she 100% believes in what she's saying. This is a real memory for her. But it becomes very interesting because they cannot confirm that she's telling the truth. However, it to her, this is absolutely true. And it's also the most likely, which is, it's very, very strange. But you start, after watching this documentary, you start to think, oh my God, like suggested, it turns out pretty much that this was most likely a suggested memory, that this did not actually happen, even though he actually still might have killed her. The fact that she witnessed it pretty much did not happen, and this was all suggested. Because she also said she knew about another case, and they investigate that, and there's nothing there. And then she said another one, and there was nothing there. Like, they couldn't find a single thing anywhere to corroborate her memories that she was having, which is just fascinating. And it got me thinking about, you know, coming off of this show, going into the Encounter show, it's like these people are so 100% convinced on their experience. And it's not like they're lying about it. It's not that they're even making things up. It's that their brains are telling them this is true. This is what happened. And it's being filled by, you know, whatever their brain needs in order to explain this situation. And so that pattern of this thing happened, your brain interprets it in a certain way, and that becomes absolute truth for you. And it's not like you're lying. It's not like you're making it up. It's just that is what's true. And then you start investigating it. I mean, like really pulling it apart, and it's not there. And it's so weird. This doesn't just happen with alien stuff. It happens with murder trials and religious stuff and all kinds of things. It's like and these aren't even weird people. This woman seemed like she would be a good friend. Like I would trust her. I mean, she seems like a cool person. And then a lot of the people in the Encounters show, they seem like great people. Like, you know, they don't seem like crazy people. And some of them, yes, but most of them just seem like totally normal people. And it's just amazing what the human brain can believe to be 100% true. It's like a system in everyone's brain that you have the ability to do this. It's almost like it's necessary to live as a human in order to make these huge connections of things and make sense of every experience you have. It's like the human brain is wired to do that. Given the right hints or the right suggestions, you come up with very fantastical reasons for something happening. And I think that is what's happening in most of these UFO encounters and alien experiences. And the way I grew up was almost in this sort of underground cult type upbringing. Like went to a normal church, and then there was the underground kid side of this extremist Christian cultist craziness. I've seen some pretty crazy things growing up. And so when I watch documentaries on cults and whatever, I'm like, yeah, I've seen all that before. Like that doesn't even seem weird to me. Like I've seen this stuff. And the amount of things that people will believe in and say is true and operate on, I've seen all kinds of things. And then they get older and they would be way too embarrassed to talk about what they've said in the past. And so I've seen this type of belief system with the aliens in churches as well, where you latch onto something, you claim it's true, and you forever claim that's true, or later you go back on or whatever. But it's just ridiculous stuff that our brains come up with and then 100% believe in. It's just, I don't know. So that pattern of your brain filling in blanks exists in every category of life.
So I had said that this show, this Netflix show, Encounters, I hated it at first, but then it got really interesting. Well, that was why it got so interesting to me, was that at first you're very dismissive. Well, some people aren't, right? But for me, I'm very dismissive. I'm like, eye rolling and this is silly and whatever. And I'm just kind of pushing everything aside. But if you pay attention a little bit and listen to these people, they're professionals, they have families, they are extremely competent, they're very well spoken, everything that you expect from, you know, a quote unquote normal person. But they say, this thing happened to me, everyone says it didn't, but I saw it, and I believe it, and I'm convinced that it was aliens. And you could think, okay, well, maybe they're lying, but that doesn't make a lot of sense, because apparently in almost every case, it's to their huge disadvantage. You know, there was one guy who's talking about, he's an adult as they're interviewing him, but he was a kid when this happened. You know, he claims that he and his friends, and they claim this too, they saw this alien craft or something. Well, he was abused for that. He was like beaten up. He points out that if you look at the footage of him on some TV show, he's got a black eye because somebody had like punched him in the eye the day before for this. Like, it wasn't good for him. And you know, I think it was the aircraft guy or the pilot who saw the thing over his head. You know, he lost his wife, and I think it was him. But like many of these people, their lives were destroyed in some cases, or at least like it was not helpful to them to make this claim. And they still just don't, or they won't go back on this. Like, no, I know what I saw. I believe it. And it's a fascinating thing to kind of reflect on. I think it's a mistake to be too dismissive of that. And that, you know, in virtually every case, I think they did see something. I think that they aren't interpreting it correctly. But like you said, your brain needs a narrative for things. It is not wired to just take in information and record it and not care about it like a video camera is. You need to prescribe meaning to things and have some way of reconciling what you're seeing and what what your experiences are. So there was one story, I forget what city, but you know, there's a guy who sees this creature, you know, some creepy figure thing that's humanoid, but it's too big, and he's like, he's freaked out by it, and he's talking about it, and he's like, look, I'm not a weirdo, I don't want to believe this stuff, but I saw this thing and it freaked me out, and I ran and it chased me and I saw it there. And you're like, man, I either the guy's just totally hallucinating or he saw something. And then as the story plays out, you hear of other people around town who say, I saw it too. Like, I saw this thing, or his mother-in-law or somebody saw it a couple weeks later. And it's like so many people are corroborating this story of this thing that's there somehow. Well, of course, Netflix saved this for the end, but somebody had stolen a like firefighting suit or something. It was one of those high heat reflective suits. It looks like a big sort of silver hazmat suit with a big giant helmet with a single window in the front. So apparently somebody had stole this thing and was creeping around town being a weirdo, just scaring people in the suit because, you know, teenagers, whatever, who knows. And so that's what these people saw, was this thing. And it's creepy. I mean, we take it for granted that if you know what this is, you're going to see it and be like, oh, that's a person in a hazmat suit. But if it's dark and you can't see very well, and I mean, this, you know, thick boots on, this big bulky thing that probably adds like 6+ inches to your height, it's going to look gigantic and it's going to be weird. And even if a stranger was far away and just stared at you like a creep, that would weird you out. But never mind this thing and this suit. And then somebody says, I saw an alien, and everyone else hears that and they've got this in their head and they see this thing too, and that's how they interpret this event. It's very easy to wind up in the situation where you have this town full of people that are all swearing up and down that they saw an alien because they did see something weird and they needed an explanation, and that's what was apparent and presented. So it's an interesting thing that happens, And like you said, it's not just relevant to aliens. It's that we need to create meaning for things and have a way to interpret it and reason about it. And there was this other element to it, too, that I found interesting, which is it seemed like some of these things happened from relatively small events. You know, this guy saw lights fly over his head. You can interpret that a lot of different ways. Again, I don't think interpreting that as aliens makes very much sense, but that's where he went. But everything, like, I think that moment is a relatively small moment. Or there's another story of these school kids, they saw something across a field and they think it was a ship, right? But it's a relatively small thing. But what happens in the aftermath can almost etch that in stone or calcify it or really change the magnitude and meaning of that event to where it can become the most important thing in that person's life, where it gets on the news and people hear about it and people start, you get a whole bunch of people who are believers and they show up and they're looking for it too. And they're like, oh man, I'm so happy that you've shared this with us and you're such a hero and whatever. And then other people are extremely hostile and super dismissive and like, you're nuts, you're stupid, this is so dumb. And it winds up this incredibly polarizing experience with very intense emotions. And all of that, I mean, we don't have a recording of things in our head. A memory is just this living, changing thing. And so it's not like they can just go back and rewind and replay exactly what happened in that state. It's like your brain will sort of morph this thing to where it in these cases, it wound up defining these people. They're talking about it decades later. They've lost their family, all this stuff. And in my mind, it's not so much from that moment itself, it's from everything that happened later.
I think the only thing that lasts forever is a good mystery. Think about how many shows and movies, whatever, or how many shows we have that come out every week that are centered around a mystery. You know, who killed this person? It's a mystery. You watch it for an hour and then they solve it, whatever. And then the next one, another mystery. And then there's a season arc of a mystery. You don't know what happens. People are obsessed with mysteries in all different ways. But with true crime, if you have an unsolved case, that just remains interesting forever until it's solved. And then you move on to the next thing. There's something about a good mystery that engages your imagination in a way that just nothing else does.
Yeah.
And people are so drawn to that. And things like God or aliens or ghosts or whatever, these otherworldly mysteries of, well, what is out there? Well, you know, we don't know. And then your brain can just run wild with this. I wrote this down. I forget. I think it was Isaac Newton or somebody said, to sort of explain what happens is they coined the term God in the gaps, the black areas of science that you can't quite explain yet. You don't know, you know, like how did life form for the first time? Well, we don't really know. Yeah. So Christians will point to that and say, well, that's because God created everything, because science can't, you know, quite explain it. And for any good mystery, you can insert just about anything. So God lives in the gaps of what you don't understand. And just like, you know, ghosts for me when I was a kid, you know, a dark, scary house. I don't know what's in there, what's in that dark corner, whatever. I've never shined a light over there. So there's a ghost over there. Like your brain fills it in. And if you can't explain what this aircraft is and, you know, the gimbal video, or if you can't explain it, it can be anything. It can be aliens. It could be a god craft. It could be, you know, a ghost craft. It could be anything. Yeah. And your brain loves that because it engages your imagination. It engages parts of your brain that you just absolutely love to use. I don't totally understand it, but I am fascinated by that. And there's just something about mysterious things that people absolutely love. And so, it's funny because I don't know if this is the same, but I imagine it probably is. But the thing with zombies is, like, when they first started becoming popular, everyone's like, man, zombies are interesting because what if that really happened? You know, and that was the fascinating thing, is what if that really happened? So you watch it and you watch it and you watch it. And then after a while, you're like, okay, we have played out every single scenario. We know what happens. It's not interesting anymore because there's no more mystery left. And you move on to the next thing. Even, vampires with Twilight. There were so many other things about vampires. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, you're like, okay, we played that through, whatever. But aliens remain consistently interesting because they're based on things that continue to happen. Oh, there was this footage or this. There's floods of fake footage everywhere. And I don't know about the majority, but a huge amount of people just choose to believe anything they see online. And so it just kind of keeps this mystery alive. And it can't really ever be squashed because the possibility of other life out there remains, It still could happen. So that mystery just can't die. And so humans will forever be fascinated by this. It's just, I don't know. But yeah, go ahead.
I want to say that it is pretty wild that, so a good place to look is the Wikipedia article on UAPs, because it's this nice collection of all of the, Pentagon released, or not just Pentagon, but other governing bodies too, but videos that have been released by government agencies that are authentic and verified as coming from them. And it's stuff that's weird. And they do not know what it is. So the gimbal footage is probably the most striking one. You're seeing a view from an infrared camera from some fighter pilot cockpit. And there's this thing that's moving, and the camera is tracking it. It's right in the center of the view. And you can't tell what it is. It's clearly not another fighter jet or something. It's kind of a weird shape. It is flying along, and it even moves kind of oddly. It sort of tilts itself, and you're having a hard time, like, that's a weird sort of motion for it to make. And they don't know what it is. And that is actually a really kind of crazy thing. Now, it's probably a drone, or it's probably something like, you have this thing that has to be interpreted somehow. To me, thinking it's an alien craft is the least likely explanation, because
I read this little article on the gimbal video, because everyone has seen this video. I mean, it's the aircraft, that's got eyes on this thing, and it's this little craft that's turning in weird ways. So you think, well, there's no technology that can do that. So, the only explanation is extraterrestrial. And it also has this soft glow around it. And there's just all these little things about this video that make this seem so strange. But there's this guy that takes it apart. And he is saying that the imaging equipment for that plane has this, like, double gyro thing. I can't pretend to explain it, but he explains it really well. Basically, like, this double gyro where it auto corrects the one camera and auto corrects the plane, whatever. So if the plane's tilting, it auto corrects, and the subject will actually appear to move without the horizon line moving. So it will, the subject will appear to make these weird turns, just like the thing in the video. So you can take that out of the equation. So okay, the aircraft is not making these weird changes or whatever. It's just a normal aircraft behavior. You still don't know what it is, but it has this weird glow around it. You're like, well, that's crazy. Well, it's just infrared or whatever, and it's like colder air around the thing. So, and apparently that's super common with a bunch of aircraft. And so you can take that out of the equation. So now you're just looking at this tiny little thing that looks, could be anything really. You don't know what it is, and you continue to not know what it is. The guy could not explain what it is. So you have this unidentified flying thing, but it's not doing weird stuff. It's acting just like any other aircraft. I don't know. That just seems to be the case with everything. It's like super interesting. Then you learn about it and you're like, God damn it. Again. Yeah. Like it's
Even in the Netflix show, they show the gimbal footage repeatedly. But so if you look at the full clip, you're seeing this thing, probably drone, and it's white because the infrared camera is, I don't know, in like its normal mode, at least how I've seen infrared cameras, where hotter, you know, brighter objects in the infrared are light, and then the cooler objects are darker, which is, that's what we would expect, right? So you see it as this white thing, and it looks relatively normal. Like, you don't know what it is, still don't know what it is, but it looks kind of like a drone or something. And then the camera inverts to doing the opposite, where it shows hotter, brighter objects as dark. So you see it as black. And when it's inverted like that, where it's black, you really see these kind of halo-ish lines emanating off of it, like you were describing. It's cold air, which is why it looks like that. But in that inverted mode, it looks a lot weirder. So the Netflix show only shows the black, inverted, weirder looking footage, because if you see the full clip and you see it in the normal mode or the bright white mode, you're like, that looks sort of like a drone. And then it flips and it looks weirder, but it's not that weird if you see the whole clip, because you kind of understand, oh, the camera is inverted. Seeing it a little bit clearer and more normal, you're like, it's not that exciting. So Netflix is being somewhat manipulative there in trying to show the footage as being, trying to show the most mysterious part that's not so mysterious when you see the whole thing. And if you listen to the audio of the clip, the pilot is talking to the other pilot and he's like, bro, it's a drone. Because it's a drone. It's just, it's a drone. That's what they say in the audio. But they didn't play the audio in the Netflix clip, because that would make you realize that it's probably just a drone.
But this is probably the biggest example of UFO phenomena. And it's just like, this is pretty much the proof of aliens existing, is this thing that we can't explain. It's doing weird stuff. And it's like, you have something and you don't know what it is and you can't figure out what it is. And then somehow you just leap off of that into space, into it being aliens. But there's not a single thing there that suggests aliens. And it's like, this just happens again and again for everything. It's like...
Yeah. But the thing is, though, as we kind of established early on, it could be aliens. You cannot argue... No one can argue with any conviction that it couldn't be. If you see, there could be another species or another civilization from a different planet that builds craft. We know that's possible. They could fly it here. It could be that. And I think that's one of the biggest underpinnings of this whole thing, is that these people aren't claiming magic. Some of them are, and I discount those immediately, but ultimately, they're not. They're saying, hey, there's this thing that could happen, provably, it could happen. It's, in some sense, it's weird that it hasn't happened, that we haven't seen aliens. We think it's happening. Now, unfortunately, from anything I've seen so far, their evidence is terrible or non-existent. But their claims are rational. They're saying they think aliens have visited us, and that is totally possible.
Well, with all of that being said, I love alien stuff. I mean, we can debate on whether they're not real or whatever, but I love alien stuff. Like, Signs is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah, I also just watched No One Will Save You. Right? It just came out. I think that's what it's called. It was actually really good. Tons of aliens in that movie. You know, Fourth Kind, whatever. I love alien stuff, but I don't exactly believe it.
Have you seen Nope?
Yes. Yeah. That was a good one, too.
I like that a lot. I saw that recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, in a weird way, I'm like, after you making me watch this Netflix show, I'm more sure than ever that we haven't encountered aliens. But I'm also, like, more interested in the scene. I kind of want to check out more of the happenings in the alien sighting world and all that. So I don't know. It actually does seem pretty fun.
I mean, it's absolutely fascinating and it's fun. And I mean, if you're, I mean, you can believe whatever you want, but if, you know, to, well, I won't even say that, but I enjoy it from an entertainment level, but it actually goes beyond that. Like, I do not believe that aliens have ever visited, but it is fun to think about this stuff. And, you know, if I was doing, like, I would, you know, tomorrow do a painting on aliens. Like, I would love to do a painting that includes aliens. Like, I love the thoughts that they suggest. I love the lore of, you know, it's fascinating. Like, it's endlessly fascinating. It could be anything. Like, it engages that imagination, like, well, like nothing else. And so, you know, I think it's totally healthy to be interested in them and think about this stuff.
There's one other, sorry, go ahead.
Well, just to be careful with not, you know, believing everything you hear, just getting too caught up in the hype for stuff, especially with all this new government talk about it. I mean, just like really read what they're actually saying and don't just read the headline and jump off and be like, oh my God, the government said there's aliens. Like, it's a little bit more to it than that.
Yeah. The one other thing that struck me a little bit with thinking about this stuff and watching and reading about these experiences that people have and whatnot, I really hate the attitude by many people, myself included, I'm certainly guilty of this, of just outright dismissal of something that somebody saw or claims they saw. And I think sometimes outright dismissal is appropriate when they're being really ridiculous, but in many cases it's not. You know, the guy who saw a creature chasing him, he did. He saw a creature chasing him. It was a human, but he didn't know that at the time, and saying, oh, you're nuts, you're crazy, like, that's wrong. He really did see something, and that was probably a pretty crazy experience it was a pretty crazy experience for him. And I think he interpreted it incorrectly, but that doesn't change the fact that he really did see something. And in many, many cases, you know, these things are, like, they're real things. It isn't just a bunch of people lying and making stuff up. They're very convinced of something, and it's a huge mistake to just dismiss that outright. Like, every single one of these videos with unidentified aerial phenomena, they're unidentified. It is a mystery that has to be solved. And in the case of the gimbal footage, you know, I think as you learn more about it, it becomes a little bit less exciting. You're like, okay, actually, there is a pretty good explanation for what you're seeing here. But at first glance, it's weird. It needs to be explained because we don't have an explanation for it. And I think it's really damaging to just be completely dismissive of people. And this goes well beyond just aliens and that whole thing. You see this all over the place. You see it with, I mean, religion and everything. You see it in science a lot. You know, scientists are forever going, it's anecdote. This person said this thing. It does, you know, that's not real data. It's, you know, it's just one person's story. But one person's, you know, maybe they're lying, but I think in many, many cases, they're not. You know, somebody who has some terrible autoimmune disease and starts eating a super weird diet and it goes away, and science goes, eh, you know, that's just one person. But it's just brushing them off is to me a massive mistake. They're not lying. Something really happened. Don't know what it is. It might not be what they think it is, but something happened. So I did, that was just a lesson that I kind of took from this a little bit, was to kind of, like, even if that woman is hallucinating a memory, she believes it. Something strange is happening there. She might be wrong, but it's not just something you can brush off. It's something unusual and strange, and it needs an explanation. That's all I have on aliens.
Me too.